The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network, live from Barcanada, which we were told that means barrage in Spanish. Live from the Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Football, all show long, seemingly. I would imagine that's our main focus. Not that I would imagine it, because there's other things to talk about here.
One hour of NHL at the end, Gil.
Okay? And then three segments of horse racing. We got to talk F1. We will get to that. Yes, we'll mention Carissa Thompson. There's tons to talk about, but it is primarily football. College football with Dr. Bob. Hopefully we can get the Bear, Chris Felica, in here. He might be big timing us. We don't know. And we'll talk to Matt Brown here on the NFL. Week 11, all of his plays here momentarily. We got to start with the game last night, which, listen, on paper, was a completely marquee matchup. We gave all the implications here on the show about what it meant to your division bets in the AFC North and how the Ravens could have put a stranglehold on the division if you believe that the either DTR or PJ Walker-led Browns and Mirage Steelers are in fact those things and not as good as the Bengals are as the Ravens competition. And the Ravens did just that in terms of the final score. In terms of the final score, they win it 34-20, and they do have the tiebreaker now with the Bengals, who fall to 0-3, by the way. The Bengals do in the division. But this was a Pyrrhic victory for the Ravens, a very costly one, and perhaps a season ender in terms of all playoff hopes for the Bengals. That is yet to be determined with the fate of Joe Burrow. In case you missed this last night, this was just a roller coaster, Kelly, of sort of team fates, for 2023, a roller coaster of emotions when it came to those things. Baltimore, as they do, they start that game with a 9-play, 75-yard drive. Lamar was responsible for 71 of them. Gus in from 3 for a 7-0 lead. But two plays prior to that, Mark Andrews rolled over by linebacker Logan Wilson. Mark Andrews would not return. And as we learned after the game, Coach John Harbaugh said, that looks like it's season ending for Mark Andrews with an ankle injury. Now, the tackle employed by Logan Wilson, which will come up again, by the way, shortly, as we go through this game, is called a hip drop tackle, which I really hadn't heard that term thrown around myself very often. I'm not sure about you, but at league meetings in October, Rich McKay, the chairman of the NFL's competition committee, described the move as a tackle on which a defender encircles his opponent. Wow, sounds like a shark or something. Mm-hmm. And then drops his weight down to bring him to the ground. This often causes the defender's legs to swing around the offensive player's body, taking them out behind the knees. Well, that's what happened to Mark Andrews. And as this game progressed a couple drives later, McPherson, by the way, got a 50-yard field goal to make it 7-3, cut the lead to 7-3 Baltimore. A couple three and outs. Traded, and then Baltimore had a three and out, but in the third down play of that three and out, Lamar Jackson had to go to the tent. Logan Wilson, same linebacker for the Bengals, with the old hip drop tackle there too, and Lamar was slow to get up. Now, I'm not sure how many bettors right at that moment, because Lamar took a little while to get up, but he got up eventually. He did go to the tent after that and never missed a play in this, but we did see Tyler Huntley throwing on the sideline at one point as well. I wonder how many bettors went to try to bet a Bengals money line at that point. McPherson did get a 53-yard field goal try that was no good. First play of the second quarter, it's still 7-3 after the Ravens punted. Then the Ravens did go 12 plays, 82 yards in 7 minutes and 22 seconds. This put our first half Ravens bets that I recommended yesterday on the show in jeopardy. Burrow to Mixon from 4 out to make it 10-7 Cincinnati with 5:49 left in the second quarter. But yet another big but here. Burrow in severe pain after throwing the football on the touchdown. Right wrist injury. The Prime Video broadcast showed a video of Burrow getting off the team bus with a brace or some kind of contraption around his right wrist and thumb. Burrow was not at all on the injury list all week. And the NFL now, Kelly, is investigating why that was the case.
Good.
Yeah, it is good, especially for those of us who bet on things, it's good. But if you're wondering, like, beyond the betting implications of this sort of thing, Zach Taylor, first of all, the coach of the Bengals, and this is a quote, he said he was not aware of Burrow dealing with any wrist issue prior to the game. There's other Bengals teammates that said the same thing. I thought it was good to go. The NFL, for just sort of thoroughness' sake, routinely looks into matters of compliance with its injury report policy. The league takes injury report violations seriously, with punishments including team fines or potentially a lost draft pick. The NFL warned teams at the spring owners' meetings that they are required to list all injuries.
Yeah, that's garbage. There is the picture that's been circulating. I saw it earlier in the week. I think it was from a local news camera out there that could see them getting off a bus with that wrap too. And it was, when he's not on the injury report all week, you just don't really think of anything of it. And
he tried throwing on the sideline. He dropped into a catcher's crouch in pain immediately.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know if I believe that all week he was absolutely fine.
I also don't believe that it's just a sprain. Like, I don't know. We'll find out. MRI scheduled for Joe Burrow. So obviously he did not return to the game. It was Jake Browning thereafter in what was just a, what's the opposite of riveting, second half? Just absolutely.
What a dud, man.
Yeah, the second half just became this sort of joke of a, punts traded and field goals traded. But Baltimore, just to conclude, Baltimore did break it open finally with their last touchdown to make it 34-13 on a drive where Lamar went to OBJ, who looked great last night. And Odell Beckham Jr., by the way, 51-yard play, but he got up holding his shoulder. Who was on the tackle this time? Not a hip drop, but Logan Wilson was on it. Logan Wilson was responsible for three Ravens injuries last night, if you consider Lamar one of the injuries as well. Gus went in for 34-13, and then they did. The Bengals did get a garbage touchdown. The betting thing last night. No, well, you finish your thought before.
Just going to say, like, JVT and I were talking about this a bit like last week when it came to the NBA, and it's like, we all said and thought as bettors, a couple years ago, that when these leagues were getting more involved with the sports gambling companies, that there was a chance that we were going to see more transparent injury reports. And it's just not been the case. No. It's just not at all been the case.
And for a league that screams integrity, right, and screamed, for those of us in this corner of the universe, right, who got, from the betting standpoint, who got screamed the word integrity down our throats, right, that gambling was the real threat to the NFL. All of this stuff is, you throw it in the mix, it's all such hypocrisy on this. But Baltimore now has led. We said this yesterday that it was 28 minutes that they have had the lead in all but 28 minutes all season. Well, now they've had the lead in all but 32 minutes and 15 seconds this season. That's the second fewest through 11 games since 1970, as they up their record now to 8-3. They could very well be 11-0, perhaps not should. I agree with the person who tweeted yesterday that said it becomes a pattern after three. But 8-3, and now they get a bye week. And by the way, Odell Beckham Jr. said, and I'll get the exact quote on this, but he did say, quote, happy we got a little weekend to recover. Not a bye week, but they have the extra time. Beckham said on Prime after the game, I'm going to need it. So Odell Beckham Jr. hoping for the best. He already put a harness on the shoulder. He was not happy about the injury yesterday. The Bengals, if you're wondering, what are they like with Burrow? What are they like without? And that was the interesting thing also. We were talking about all the check marks in the Ravens column yesterday. But then I noted that Burrow mattered, that since the beginning of 2020, I believe it was, that the Bengals were 12-0-1 against the spread when they were dogs of three or more with him as quarterback. Last night, throw it out, obviously, because he didn't make it to the second half. But with Burrow as a starter since 2020, when he entered the league, Burrow and the Bengals are 29-21-1. They average 24.7 points per game and 256 passing yards per game without Burrow. Seven games in which he has not started since 2020, because obviously he's had multiple injuries now, blowing out his knee being the biggest one. The Bengals are 2-5. So from 29-21-1, they dropped to 2-5. Instead of 24.7 points per game, they only average 16.3 points per game. And instead of 256 passing yards per game, they only average 154 passing yards per game. That courtesy of ESPN Stats and Information. So obviously that quantifies what you would already know instinctively. So there it is. And the Steelers not only now face the possibility, not the possibility, they will get Dorian Thompson-Robinson this week, but then it looks like they're going to get Jake Browning right after that. So the Steelers Jedi mind trick on the NFL continues. I will just say this about That game last night, the betting moments in that game. This is why, if you're not watching, because we have a lot of handicappers who like to wear it. Dr. Bob was coming up on the show later. I always had this talk with Bob. Mm-hmm. He used to wear it as sort of like this badge of honor that he didn't watch games, right? And I used to say to him, Bob, there's no way you can possibly grasp the essence of all these games without doing so. I also thought he was sort of just trumping it up for legend's sake, that he watched more than he let on. So I don't know if he was even being completely honest about that stuff. But last night, when Burrow went down, the rush, and because it was streaming, you couldn't get in there in time to really bet the Bengals successfully. Most people didn't. But at halftime, when they threw up the line where the Ravens were only 2.5-point favorites, and you didn't know with 100% certainty that Burrow wasn't playing, but you kind of did.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, and by the way, it ended up being a 3-point line, so it ended up being a push for those who didn't get there in time. But if you were fast enough, that was the moment where it was clearly streaming, whatever it was. At halftime, you have the time to do it. They threw up a 2.5 on the Ravens. I bet I couldn't believe that that it was only 2.5.
Three is a pretty bad beat.
three is a bad beat. Because they converted a fourth down last drive, too. Yeah.
And Baltimore was in complete prevent. Do whatever you want, Browning. Like, it was.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, as much as we talk about, maybe the Bengals season is over if it's, if there's no Burrow in a completely congested AFC playoff picture, you got to figure teams like the Bills and the Texans are the biggest beneficiaries. What about the Ravens without Mark Andrews? Lamar Jackson, he said after the game, that's my number one most of the time. I mean, what's the bigger impact on yesterday's games? Teams like the Bills that now have a better chance at a wild card, or the Chiefs, who look at that injury and are like, we rule the roost now again. We're coming back. Matt Brown right here on a numbers game at VSiN.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything that VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. We get tweets at Beating the Book Rideco. Love you guys, man, for all the feedback. Due to poor planning, did Gil get to sleep until 2:40 a.m.? Should we talk about F1 for a second?
Oh, yeah, we can, yeah.
So for those who missed it, F1 yesterday was...
Matt's caught on the track right now, so...
You know. Matt Brown is caught on the track right now. It was practice last night. We're talking about practice.
Practice.
Tonight is...
Not a game.
Not qualifying. Practice. Tonight is qualifying. Saturday is the race itself. Well, last night, the practice lasted 9 minutes. Nine.
I saw most of it then.
Good for you. By the way, you have any trouble getting out of Caesars? They went back roads. You're fine.
It was shockingly easy.
As long as you're on the west side of the strip, you can get out on the back.
Yeah.
Well, the opening practice session for the Las Vegas F1 race was abandoned after, they say only 8 minutes in some spots here, after Carlos Sainz's Ferrari was struck with a severe and dangerous impact by a drain cover. More than one drain cover was understood to have been dislodged, and the organization had to check the safety of all of them across the street circuit to confirm their integrity. So you had 9 minutes of racing. Later, because I knew people who worked the event, after midnight, they were like, oh, they're going to start up the second practice session. It never happened. And it got too late. It got so late to the point where I was like, are they going to be racing when I go to work?
I saw a 2:30 a.m. start time up there.
Never happened. I took a couple pictures last night, and I just want to give you an indication of, because we've been complaining about this here, and I know not everybody lives here, and I get it, but just to let you know how just... It just feels disrespectful. This is in the middle of the strip. This is where the race is at, the corner of Harmon and Las Vegas Boulevard. This is a picture from last night of people, a horde of people there gathering. That right fence that you see is covered in a mesh so that you cannot see that right there, so that you cannot lay eyes on the actual race, their precious 9 minute practice. And so, not only is this the case, but literally 5 minutes after I took this picture, security guards aggressively shoot us away. aggressively to the point where you immediately you got upset as a person, like, oh, I'm not letting them, like, this is, how can I not? I'm talking to somebody. You can't push me away from this thing. But anyway, that's also what's happening. Not a single human being who bought a ticket last night got a refund.
That is wild. They really just shooed you away, huh?
Not just me. Yeah, everybody
whistled there. Shooed.
Yeah, that's very nice. Everybody.
I didn't know.
And angrily.
You got to keep it moving. You got to get out of here. See, like, if you already got the mesh up, who cares?
It's exactly my point.
Right? Like, who cares?
How dare you try to look through the mesh?
I like that you're so much better than me with this stuff. I went to Caesars last night. I popped out. So I'm like, let me check this out real quick. And then I walked up and got like 20 yards away from that fence, like looked like that. And I was like, okay, got it. I'm not going to be able to see anything. I'm going back inside.
Anyway, all that from a tweet that said, did I get to bed before 2:40? No, but I didn't get to bed before 1, though. Buddhist man. Oh, he's talking about the Megapod. Years gone by, I have not really like gone crazy promoting the Megapod. I have this year. The Megapod has been fantastic. Every guest that we have is just phenomenal. They come prepared. They're insightful. Yesterday, we had Cleve T.A. on from Twitter. C-L-E-V-T-A is his Twitter handle. He's one of the great gambling. He's one of the great NFL gambling follows there is. He was great on the show. It was wonderful. And Buddhist man is talking about our Megapod Constitution, which we joke we wrote in 1787. He said one man was there, and that was Guilford Alexander Hamilton. This is also about the Megapod yesterday, where folks just, it's just been amazing. So I appreciate all that. I can't find it right now. But this is from J.O. Can't believe you caved to stand on your roof for $150. I can't either. I'm so upset about it right now. Hayden Sherman, Washington trivia for Gil. When was the last time Washington won as a double-digit home favorite? I don't know. You tell me. I'm not sure on that. We'll get to more of these tweets. Matt Brown is here. He has braved the track. He has braved the manhole covers, and he has made it. VEASAN Zone. How you doing, man? You okay? How was the route?
That was... Can't unsee what I just saw. That was not a.
What'd you see?
That was not pleasant.
Wait a minute. What'd you see up there?
It was an unfortunate automobile accident.
Oh no, that's not good.
Yeah, no, it was.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was no good. We're here talking football though.
Yeah,
football.
You okay? You seem out of breath.
Yeah,
right? Man.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right.
Yeah.
Week 11 in the National Football. First of all, does Joe Burrow not being on the injury report chap your hide?
Irk me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All of this injury report shenanigans, this is going to get addressed in the offseason big time.
Yeah.
And good. It needs to be. I mean, all this stuff that they're doing with this, and I mean, these guys gaming the system left and right, it doesn't do anybody any good, right? It doesn't do anybody any good because, like, it's the same guy that goes, it's the head coach that goes to the podium and clowns on, says something about like, and he doesn't care about your fantasy team and all this stuff like that. It's like, well, you know what? That's half your salary. Like, absolutely. You know, it's,
yes,
like,
it,
that's half your salary. That's, and then right, the other half is the gambling. It's like, yeah, you should care. And you should take all that stuff into consideration, because the reason you have these massive television rights and the reason people care so much is because of their fantasy team and because of their bets and because of their gambling. That's the reason why. So yes, it does. It irks me big time.
I love that you came fired up. Yeah. What about this notion of, we touched on this in the first segment. So Logan Wilson, hip drop tackled. Not sure if you're familiar with this term, Matt. We're just learning ourselves. Both Mark Andrews now apparently out for the year. Also Lamar Jackson, a little later on. We've seen this tackle many times. It is absolutely, we know it's the definition where you drop your whole body and you pull them down. Their body gets stuck under yours. We've seen it a million times. It does. The league estimates that the tackle increases injuries with that tackle by 25%. If they flag that,
yeah,
we
I don't know what we can do anymore.
I can't even already we joke about some of these roughing the pass, flagged for playing football,
yeah,
roughing the pass, right? This now is going to be a whole nother layer of what are we watching,
the split second interpretation too of,
yes,
is this that, is it not this, is it whatever, like, I mean we can't go there, guys. We just can't go there. Some of this stuff we're just going to have to understand that they play a violent game, and injuries are going to happen.
I agree. I think they've talked about it like the past couple off seasons, because I don't think they can bring themselves to get there. It's like they got to tackle somehow. And then also, it so often happens from behind. So what's the answer then? Just to swipe at the guy's legs? And then we're worried about concussions. Like, swipe at a guy's legs, you go face forward, head forward into the ground. It's like, that's not good.
It's football, man. Yeah. You can't avoid it.
You can't.
You can't.
And I truly believe this as well, is like, you know, everyone talks about it. It seems like there's far more injuries and stuff. And like, well, maybe. And we're just obviously in the information age, so we get everything instantly and all that. And then further, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? When it's like every single year, everyone's bigger, faster, stronger. Like, doesn't it make more sense that there's going to be more injuries where guys that used to, we would laugh and it would just be, oh, defensive linemen or offensive, they're all fat guys and they're whatever and so like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now these guys run like 4.7s and 4.8s, you know, and all that whatever. So yeah, there's gonna be more injuries when guys that are like as big as a Mack truck are like coming and hitting you at a rapid speed and whatever, you know?
When Lawrence Taylor entered the league, he was so different from every other human being who ever played professional football.
Now it's like all of them.
Now everyone is Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, it's like every single one of them.
Every single human out there is that. Boy, oh boy. Really, Bengals are done if no Burrow, right?
Oh, for sure.
Done.
For sure.
For sure. I was speculating this before we get to your picks here, before we get to the break. I was speculating, okay, from a Bengals day, if there's no Burrow the rest of the way, benefits teams like the Bills and anybody else, the Texans, whoever's in that middle, even teams like, right, the Colts can say it benefits us, the Raiders, the Jets, right? Like, any of these teams can say that. But to me, it's almost bigger. The Andrews injury, which is not going to get nearly as much fanfare, aren't the Chiefs the biggest? This is a horrible way to put it, because these are injuries and you don't want to see these. Yes. Obviously, for the enjoyment of the game, you certainly don't want to see these guys go down. But aren't the Chiefs the biggest beneficiary of anybody?
So last week, the Chiefs were the biggest beneficiary by being on bye because all the teams lose.
Yeah.
And like literally everyone loses. And then they enter this week without having to play a game, and they're also the biggest beneficiary yet again. You hear Lamar talk about Andrews after the game. And like you start to realize it. He's like, we're like peanut butter and jelly, we're whatever, all the stuff, you know, literally like saying stuff like this. I mean, like you get to realize like the magnitude of what that injury means, because he's like, yeah, I got these other guys, but like, he's my dude, you know, like, yeah, it's like, I got all these other, but he's my dude.
Did you get the feeling Lamar Jackson was trying to come up with every duo he could think of?
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly. Rizzoli and Isles. Like, he was just coming up with.
We're hauling oats, you know.
Hauling oats. who do you think was oats in that duo?
I think Lamar can pick, you know. It's good.
It's Matt Brown. He'll come back. He'll give us all his Week 11 picks. He is VSiN's own co-host of The Handle and, of course, the host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast. We're coming back. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hi, we got to take a break, talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This one via text, actually, by Richard Palma, who says, app kept spinning me out until it hit second half -3, -120. I think a lot of people have that experience with the halftime -2.5, where they got shut out till the -3 showed up, and that ended up being a tough push. Kevin Ryan on Twitter: got into an altercation while walking my dog this morning in the community with one of my neighbors. Took him down with a hip drop tackle, and I'm now awaiting my fine by my HOA. Bentley: William Hill in game made no move on Jackson's injury. I was hammering it and suddenly got into a log and loop in the app and couldn't do anything. Saved me from overindulging before the Burrow injury. I think a lot of people had that experience as well. Kevin, Clone Bone: F1 race in Vegas introduces drivers in Hunger Games style. Hammer the under 16.5 classified drivers that the gentleman gave out the other day on the show. Things are about to get real. That looks like a great bet right now. For we had earlier on the show.
Yeah, Phil Bobbitt went 2 for 2 last night.
Phil Bobbitt, 2 for 2.
In 9 minutes. Or 8 minutes.
Eight or 9 minutes, depending on who you believe. Duke's in the PNW per convo earlier this week and on the Megapod. Gil, I truly believe if you were to do a Twitter poll of who you would want as quarterback, Dobbs or Cousins, Dobbs would grab at least 40-50% clip of the vote. I do too. Todd certainly agreed with me, that's for sure. Matt Brown is here, ladies and gentlemen. VSiN Zone, kind enough to join us for not one, not two, but three segments each and every Friday morning. He's the co-host of The Handle here on weekends, also host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast, which you do twice a week.
Three times a week.
At Matt Brown M2, by the way. At Matt Brown M2 on Twitter. Okay. Week 11. Let's start with your favorite. Do you have a favorite or do you like them all equally?
You know, it was a good number on the Steelers. It was one that was just kind of right place, right time type deal, because it was the Deshaun Watson news had come out, and then Schefter goes on McAfee's show, and I happen to have it on, and then he's like, and they're going to start Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And then I was like breaking my finger to get, you know, to get in on, to come in on the other side of that, because I just don't think there's going to be very much scoring at all in the game. And so if you're going to give me on the other side of a field goal, you know, even as much as I hate the Steelers, I mean, the Steelers are awful too. If you look basically up and down this team, I mean, there's nothing to cling on to, right? I mean, I guess you could look at the potential of what Pickens might bring down the line as like a true number one wide receiver or something, but that's about it. I mean, Watt even is kind of hamstrung on that defense, because the defense is not as good, by the way, this year. And it's like, we always think Steelers, again, everyone holds on to that too. It's like, oh, Steelers defense. No, they're actually not all that good either. Like they're really not all that good either. And you look at the last 3 weeks for the Steelers defense, and you're giving up a ton of pass yards through the air, and I don't think we have to worry about that now. And that was something I was at least minimally worried about, why I didn't come in on it before the Watson news, because you're looking like Love goes for 280 something against them. You know, it's if Jordan Love is doing that, then, like, you know, with the way that he's been playing this year. But yeah, I mean, Steelers probably still in there, because I mean, we're looking at, you know, approaching historically low total in this game for a game that doesn't have like horrible weather situations.
Sniffed a 32, I think. Yeah.
There was a 32.5 last year, but it was 40 mile an hour sustained winds or something or whatever. So it's like, so for a game that doesn't have that, it's just, it's insane. So yeah, on the other side of that, I think I like that a ton. But at the current number sitting at the 1.5, I know there's people out there who are saying, ah, it's too short. You got to play the Browns.
But I'm one of those people. I loved Cleveland guessing lines at 4 when I thought it was Deshaun.
Yeah.
I liked him at 2.5 when I thought it was PJ, and I like him at 1 with DTR. Yeah, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I would say that I'm not coming in to back the Steelers at 1. I think it was just kind of a pass then at that point. I saw the preseason stuff with DTR, and I mean, yeah, he looked good in the preseason, but man, he looked so god awful in that one start that he did have this year, that I guess maybe that tainted my feelings on him a little bit. So it became a pass for me on that.
Okay. Yeah. That should be a fun game to watch. Total right now, consensus at 33.
Here's the problem. You have a bet. I have a bet. We have to watch it. We're gonna have to watch this thing.
You are somewhat required to watch this game.
I'm hoping I see a 1.5 again, because that's probably a teaser leg for me. I still haven't made all week, but yeah, when you're talking a total this low, like, you are getting so much value on that 6-point teaser.
I cannot believe we will live in a world where the Steelers are 7-3. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it's gonna happen.
Then 8-3.
What's that?
And then 8-3.
That's right. And then projecting forward. Now, I think this is where the magic bean, the magic carpet ride ends.
It's true. I mean, they give up 289 to Love, 262 to Levis, and then 292 to Lawrence the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, like, that defense has been giving it up through the air. So if DTR is ever going to have, you know, I mean, if he's going to have a performance like he did in the preseason, it seems like this defense is right for the taking right now.
All right. What's next? What do you like after this?
Yeah, I mean, this one, let's see. What can you... Okay, let's look at numbers you can still get. So let's... I have the Eagles on the money line, right? And so, for me, I look at this, and I think that this Eagles team, for whatever reason, has been kind of underrated all year long. It seems like everybody continues to want to bet against the Eagles each and every week. And you go in and you start to really break down what we're looking at here. And this Eagles team has been nothing short of amazing all year long, and then everyone wants to nitpick every single one of the wins, right? And it's like, yet they're coming out and they're winning all of these games, and it's like, oh yeah, but they gave up this through the air, and they did this, and they whatever, and yeah. Here's the other thing too. Y'all probably heard it this week as well. Oh man, Jalen Hurts is something's wrong with his knee. He's definitely he's definitely not the same, you know. And like, I sit there and why are we assuming that Jalen Hurts in his knee is bothering him? This is what I just don't get. And everyone seems to be kind of like just assuming that this guy is hurting, but we hadn't heard anything about it. And then you go to the game logs and you're sitting here like, okay, I'm looking at Jalen Hurts game logs over the course of the season, and his rushing attempts are 9-12, 10-9, 15-8, 11. There's one that's a 4 and then 10. So 9-12, 10-9, 15-8, 11, 4-10. It's the same every single game throughout the whole course of the season. If you say he's healthy at the beginning, if you say he's hurt now, it doesn't really matter. They're running in the same. So, like, that's not really a thing either with all of this. So, I see a Chiefs, in my personal opinion, I see a Chiefs offense that is still vulnerable. I've not seen them come out and really dominate from the beginning of a game to the end of a game all year long. And so, I think if this Eagles team can get up, I think they can bully him a little bit and just kind of keep them at bay on the offensive side of the ball. So I'll take the Eagles in a money line here. I think it's one of those, and I chose money line as opposed to the points, because it seems to me Eagles just either win outright or the Chiefs just chief them, right? And so, like, I'm not worried about the 2.5 or that it's sitting at right now.
To use your words, I'm betting on the Chiefs chiefing them. Yeah. I think Kelly, you're on the Chiefs side as well.
I haven't bet it yet.
It's a contest pick for me. I think just because you got to fill out five. But yeah, look, I think I agree with everything you're saying about the Eagles. Absolutely a football team that has been great. I know you rail against the team, the guys that nitpick. I think in order to get to the Chiefs, you do have to nitpick the Eagles' wins, which I do, right? Like, you know, they should have lost to the Cowboys. The Commodores give them all kinds of trouble the week before that. The Commodores have done it twice. I think this Chiefs team is a defensive team now. And I think you're going to get a lot of passing from Mahomes this week based on what the Eagles do on defense. So for me, it's a play. Would I be shocked if the Eagles won it outright? I would not be. But you know the whole Andy Reid off a bye thing, right? That's in play.
I
have not heard that.
No.
Have you heard about a Mike Tomlin stat?
I have not heard about the Andy Reid thing. Yeah. I definitely not. I will say this, though. I mean, like, how awesome is this that we get this game?
Phenomenal.
How awesome is that we get this game? People are sitting here going like, Super Bowl preview. I mean, it very well could be. I mean, it very, very well could be, especially now how this breaking down in the AFC and over on the NFC side. You look at this Eagles team that is, I think the Cowboys are, in my power rankings, I have the Cowboys like right up there too, you know? And so, I mean, I think that maybe the two best teams in the NFC might even play in the same, you know, division.
You have them above the Niners, both those two teams.
No. I have the Eagles above the Niners. I do not have the Cowboys above the Niners. I do not. But remember, we have a one game, we basically have a one game sample size of the Niners functioning again. So like there's that, right? Whereas we've at least got a little bit bigger body of work. I think the Niners are one of the most interesting cases in the NFL this year, because it's kind of like when everyone is out there, it's like poetry. You know, it's like everything is just it's the craziest thing, right? You're watching it and it looks like there should just be like rainbows in the background and all. Everything is just so perfect. And then one little piece goes away and it's kind of like, oh, it's clunky now. Why is that so clunky? But boy, when everyone's out there, it is really, really, really awesome to watch.
It's Purdy to watch. See what I did there, Kelly?
I see what you did. I think there's only three good teams in the NFC, though.
Those three. You don't like the Lions.
Lions are kind of like, I think it's like those three, and then the Lions are fine, but it's kind of like a gap, right?
That's how I felt all year, and I've taken a lot of incoming for that. Like, if I had the Lions as like my 10th overall power ranking, people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that as well. Should be fun. Matt's got a couple more picks to get to, including a teaser as his third play here. We'll do that on the other side. Matt Brown, once again, from the All Angles podcast, which he does three times a week, and of course, as well, The Handle with Mike Somich, 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday nights here at the network. We're coming back. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. That's baloncesto, by the way. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. That was for the Spanish speakers out there. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Matthew Mayberry As soon as I saw how hurt Burrow was on the sideline, I was able to get Ravens pick at even money on the new ESPN bet app. I don't know if they're a little slow moving being new or what, but I was surprised it didn't move before I could get in. Good for you. Logic 3227. I did take Cincinnati when I thought Lamar went down. Instantly regretted it, but when Burrow went down, I got Baltimore -4.5, made my money back in a small profit, and that's why I love in-game betting. He also adds, when Andrews went down, Lamar took his helmet off on field and slammed it on the ground. To our point, that tells you all you need to know about his importance to Lamar. Called him his number one. This is from last name Nash. What was more of a challenge for Matt Brown, kicking the field goal or dodging F1 Vegas traffic to get to the D? I don't know if that was rhetorical, man. Joe Nigro, do you think teams will just forfeit in advance against the Steelers to avoid their quarterback having a season-ending injury the week before? Yeah, they are. They are running hot with that kind of stuff. Corbin, nothing like seeing a potentially fatal vehicular crash for Matt Brown, possibly giving you some emotional damage in the process and scarring you for life. Nothing that some football and gambling won't fix. We are such degenerates, but I love it. Appreciate all the feedback as always. Last night, Will Hill texted. This is after the Ravens-Bengals game, and he said, or as it was winding down and there was already a done deal that the Ravens going to win it, he's like, what do you think the Ravens division price will be in the morning? And I said, it'll be -220. He said, I want to say -350, he said. And then Felica said, I'll split the difference, go in the middle. And the reason I said it can't be too high, because the Andrews injury and the fact that the Ravens still have a really difficult schedule. And don't forget that regardless of what we feel about the Browns and the Steelers, they'd still only be the winner of that game between those two teams this weekend. Will still only be a game behind the Ravens. You know what he was? You know what it ended up being this morning? -180, even lower than all of us thought. You think that's too low?
It's 175 right now.
-175. Too low on the Ravens?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's the number that it is because of the record of the Steelers and the Browns, and so they have to they can't just go crazy. But the Steelers are such a mirage. The Steelers are just such a mirage, and then with the Browns, there's just. Unless, again, maybe the DTR we saw in the preseason is real, and maybe this team with that defense is going to just win a whole bunch of 13-7 games or whatever like the rest of the way, but I can't get there. You know, I think it's Ravens with a bullet.
We're only like a week away from, you know, Aaron Schatz being like, this is the worst 7-3 team in the history of my rankings. Yeah. You know, by the way, he had the Ravens, it should be pointed out, before they lost last week, as the third best team of all time through 9 weeks.
I guess I'm surprised how long the odds are on the Bengals. It's 25-1. He hasn't been ruled out or anything. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just
MRI
I'm not running to bet it or anything. I'm just pointing out it's a long number for a team that we don't even know really what Joe Burrow's status is going for.
That was to win division.
Yeah,
25-1. Well, because they're in essence. Three and a half behind the Ravens right now. Yeah.
And that video of him trying to throw the ball and it just falling straight down.
I can't imagine he's coming back anytime soon. I'm just saying.
And then it just falling straight down and he couldn't propel it at all forward.
So there's
that thing too.
Yeah. That touchdown pass, I thought that was even worse when they showed the replay afterward of him just it looked like he was screaming in pain after it.
I hate to do this, but it popped in my brain, so I'm going to have to say it. I guess Al Michaels, again, let me just preface it by saying he's done more in this industry than all of us combined will do. And he's a legend. But did you feel like the gravity of that and the implications of what it would do to the Bengals was sort of lost on him and Herb Street last night? Like, they just didn't quite contextualize it enough, or was that just me?
So I same deal. I hate being critical of whatever, but I mean, you look, and I think Herb Street, because he's sitting there with this legend, and because I think Herb Street is kind of hamstrung.
I do too.
In that position, because I think he's one of the best, if not the best out there.
I agree completely.
But you're sitting there with Al Michaels, and it's kind of like, you know, there is a level of respect and all of that, and he doesn't want to basically come in and run the show, but it's like, sometimes I feel like he needs to, you know, I feel like Herbie just doesn't, Al Michaels, beyond a legend, but in this particular broadcast. Herbie could do so much more.
Kelly's face. Kelly's
he could do so much more.
I think it's beyond. Like, I just go back to last week, too, where it was like, and there's Hamlin with the tackle. And third down moving. I'm like, you're like,
that
what?
That wasn't Al Michaels. That was
I know. Yeah. But, like, it's just, I think it's more of an issue more than just Al Michaels is what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. For sure it is. So, I mean, we, again, for
because, yes, I agree. Like, that's a massive moment in the game. It's a massive moment for those teams going forward.
Every guessing lines, we say three or four things that they don't pick up on the broadcast. We're like, and the announcer said nothing, you know, that kind of thing. But that last night was like a season-ending implication. And I just felt like, anyway, that was just a random thought. All right, you have a teaser you like before we get to your final two sides. What's
I like the Commanders and the Jags here, taking them down. I don't think the number on the Commanders, and I understand why people were taking the 10, 10 and a half, whatever it was, on the Giants, just mainly because the Commanders don't seem like that type of team that can win at margin, even against a team like the Giants. But boy, I just don't know what the Giants are going to be rolling out there. You look, not only is DeVito, in my opinion, the worst quarterback to ever start multiple games in a season. Like, yeah, we've had like fill-ins here and there that were absolutely awful, but to think that there is no better option.
Yeah.
But let's be for real. The Giants are playing this correct. They're playing it right. They got to start over, go lose as many games as possible, get one of those top couple picks. Like, they're doing it right. I mean,
as opposed to the Cardinals, for instance?
Yeah. Like, they're doing it right. I mean, this is the right way to go about it. Yes, that extension, just a little side note or whatever, that extension for Jones, the guaranteed money runs out after next year. So, like, even though it was a four-year extension, like, they only owe him money through next season. So, they could draft Caleb Williams or Drake May or whatever. Yeah, they'd have Dan Jones on the book for a year, but then after that, they could just cut him. There's no financial implications after that. So, I think they're going about it the right way for sure. But you get them down now. They're still an 8.5. It's still 8.5 at DraftKings right now on this Commanders team. You can still get them at that 2.5 and a teaser leg. And I think that there are a couple different partners you could go at this week and feel fairly comfortable. I mean, Kelly, you mentioned taking the Steelers up. I mean, whether you think the Browns are going to win or not, do you think they're going to win by multiple scores? Probably not. I think that that's a decent one. I chose the Jags in this, coming off of I just think the Titans at this point, they're doing it right too. They've moved to Levis. They should move to Levis. But Levis is looking like a rookie quarterback that needs a little bit more experience. And I don't think that they're going to. This is a pretty big level up for the Titans to be able to hold it within a point. I mean, getting this down to a point is basically just winning the game. And so the Jags, yeah, they look bad last week. But I think a lot of teams are going to look bad against the 49ers whenever the 49ers are at full strength. So I don't really hold that against them all that much. It was just they're in a different tier, right? Like, the Jags are in that, like, good tier. And the Niners are just in that great tier. And so they're going to beat down a lot of teams, I think.
I think your teaser looks good. What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. What if the Commanders lose outright to Tommy DeVito?
No, don't even utter. Don't even say it.
To Tommy DeVito.
Don't put it in the universe.
It's a lot of points to be laying to a division opponent. That's for
points
sure.
Points are one thing, but just losing outright is what he said. All right. These two sides, two big spreads. One you were willing to lay the wood. The other you were like, no, I'm taking the points.
Yeah. The Dolphins one was the one that was just so obvious to me, and that was like, as soon as that one hit, I thought we would be looking at two touchdowns, and when it was at 10, I understand that's gotten away from everybody at this point, but what are you laughing at?
I sat here Monday, I'm like 10 feels pretty low on this. I'm going to jump in, but I'm going to wait till after the show, and then it's like every couple hours I've checked through the week, it's like up half a point, half a point,
never
up
it.
Half a point.
So you never got it?
Yeah. You want to talk about like leveling up. I mean, if we're talking power ratings too, I mean, so I'm Chiefs, Eagles, Niners, Cowboys, 1 through 4, and then I have the Dolphins at 5, actually. So I have the Dolphins sitting at 5 right now, and the Raiders at 25. So, I mean, like, you know, this is right on line with what I'm looking at here from a power rating standpoint. But honestly, I think the 10 was super, super light, and I would only still lay it as opposed to taking the points with the Raiders, because the rah-rah stuff and all that's great, and that's fine, but now you're going up against a really, really good offense, and not only that, this defense has started to trend in the right direction as well, so I think this is kind of a wake-up call here, and the Bears number was just too. The Bears number was just on the other side of 10 was just too much. With it was the writing was on the wall that Fields was coming back, right? And like, I didn't get wide open to where it did whenever it was pretty obvious that Fields was going to be coming back. And so this is more of just a kind of a play on that number that was out there as opposed to anything else. And weirdly enough, I've never done this before. But I kind of like want to put the Lions in a teaser too. Like they take the 7.5 down to 1.5 now, just middle myself. Cause like now that it's gotten down to 7.5, I'm like, oh, that's a really attractive teaser leg, but yeah. I don't have that one in there and I can't play against myself, but Kelly, go right ahead. If you want to get that in your account.
A couple of notes right here. Garrett Wilson going to have the questionable tag for Sunday against the Bills. And how about Joe Flacco coming in for a workout for the Cleveland Browns?
Oh boy.
Who
famously traded Josh Dobbs in the offseason because DTR was so good in preseason.
Yeah.
Matt Brown, y'all, co-host of The Handle, host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast at Matt Brown M2. Mateo, thank you.
Absolutely. Good luck on everybody's week 11.